Welcome to another episode. Casper's back. Back again. Back. He's fresh. Again. And he just did the awkward filming of something for me. Thank you. OnlyFeds.com.
The OnlyFeds. Yeah, that's, oh my goodness. Yeah. It's been a bit crazy, Rob. It's been a bit crazy. This is a crazy week for me. And it's actually a good, I don't know who's dealing with the topics or stuff these days. But today is the it's a bit heavy. It's the 29th anniversary of my dad's funeral. And my dad committed suicide when he was 57.
Oh my God, Casper, this is a horrible way to start the show. I'm
horrible
so
way to start. But no, but what it is, see, this is what I want to talk about. This is
why
exactly,
am I smiling? Oh my
no,
God.
No, exactly. Because this is what I want to talk about. You're smiling because I'm smiling. It's the reactions that people have to other people who've experienced things like suicide in their life. Your immediate response is, oh, I'm sorry. Well, you have nothing to be sorry for because you didn't know, you know, to begin with. But also this is something I'm coming to terms with. And my family has been doing it. And my sister in particular, who I'm talking to, it's all about, suicide has nothing to do with you as an individual, particularly with the person. It's harder. He didn't leave a note. So we, you know, usually when you leave a note, you can go, oh, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Strangely enough, and this, I don't mind sharing this. He made a suicide pact with his best friend and the two of them from the time they were teenagers had decided they were going to kill themselves at a certain point in their life if certain conditions were met.
Damn, that's like my rule with being 26 and not having anything going for me.
Exactly. So it's kind of crazy. So what's happened for me? Because
except
it's
my
been,
caveat wasn't death, yeah, it was porn.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's been 29 years. That's a long time. And a lot of people would go, I know my ex-wife would go, you know, you need to stop living in the past, you know, getting over that kind of stuff. But people who've never experienced something like that before, it's very difficult to explain your feelings, you know, explain what's going to happen to a family because everyone's going to react to a situation like that differently. But what I realized I was doing, and this was when it hit me, particularly it hit me when I had my heart attack last year, was that I'd been waiting for the time I turned 57 to see if I would make it to 57. And I thought, what kind of crazy is this? But what ends up happening, particularly if you experience suicide in your family, everyone's got their deck of cards they have for life. They're playing the game of life. And when you experience suicide in your life, that card gets added into your deck. So every so often you'll be playing and a hand will come up and you go, oh, there's the suicide card. That's an easy way out of this situation. I'll just discard that. You know, that was something my dad did. But as you get older, and as things get heavier, when that suicide card starts coming up more and more, you start looking at certain aspects of life going, do I want to play this? You start thinking that. Everybody is. I've talked to everyone in my family, and we've all had that moment where you go, do you want to take the easy way out? Because that's what he did. He took the easy way out because he didn't end it. And when I had my heart attack, I realized I need to change my deck. This sucks. This is, and so it made me wonder how many people are actually going through the same thing and they're experiencing the same thing. And they, from that aspect, like, you know, I think people are really, we're talking about like depression and, you know, the, you know, schizophrenia and all the, you know, ADHD and all the things that we used to sort of bypass as in the 80s and 90s. And then doctors would just give pills rather than understand it. They didn't want to understand what was going on. So with something like, you know, suicide, there's a trigger for that. You know, there's something in there. So if you can understand what's going on. I need to change my deck. And I've actually started today, this whole week actually has been all about sort of smiling more and laughing more and getting going. That was in the past. What he did had nothing to do with me. Why has it affected me so much? And I've just decided to use it as an example to learn from. And it's, you know, it's sad that he's not here. He wouldn't be here now because he'd be like 130 or, but he'd be, that he didn't experience some of the things that I experienced as I grew up kind of thing. So that's a bit weird, but that's sort of where I'm coming at from today kind of thing. So when I came into this, so, you know, what we talked about earlier before we started recording, that type of stuff is making my day. It's making it so much fun because it's, what, I'm realizing that
work.
Well, but no, it's making me realize that it's work that I enjoy.
Now I feel like an asshole even throwing it out there.
No, because you make it because it's fun. And I'm just realizing that I'm still doing stuff. And the fact that I was thinking about what's it going to be like to live past 57? It's so stupid. Such a stupid thing to say. You just keep going and just keep going. But I subconsciously put that ruler in my head. This was my limbo line that I needed to get under. And, you know, how low was I going to have to bend to get under the, you know, or would I make it through it? And there were times over the last 4 years where I kind of went, I don't think I'm going to make that bar. It's not going to happen. Can I think? Because we all have. Yeah, but I have. And it's, and so, and then, you know, and then you go and had something like a heart attack and you go, ha. And then what was even better about my heart attack, it was stress induced. So it actually had nothing to do with me physically. None of my arteries are clogged or anything like that. It was simply me going, ah, fuck. Yeah. and then to top it off, I thought it was a bad case of indigestion. So that makes it even funnier. So when it actually happened and we're all done, I went, you know, I'm going to change my deck. I'm going to get a different card. Maybe I'll get a magic deck. Yeah, that'd be kind of fun, you know, to throw that all around. And so that's the analogy I've been looking at is, you know, getting rid of all that stuff. But so that's where I've been coming at lately. So it's one of those things where you go, people's reactions to what you've done is really, I think we were raised that way in society to go, like, if you say, oh, I've had a, my mom passed away or something, or if they ask, how's your mom? And you go, oh, she passed away. Oh, I'm sorry. Why are you sorry?
Or if somebody's in the service, you say, thank you for your service.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of thing. So that's, you know, that's a different thing. And today being, Remembrance Day over here kind of thing. What do they call it in the States? Is it still Remembrance Day? Do you have, or the 11th? Day? Yeah. Veterans Day.
Is that today?
Yeah, it is today. And what, what kind of gets me about today, which is another thing that's kind of funny, but not really. But it's a memory that makes me laugh now, is when I was a child, our entire family, my dad was addicted to the poppies. There was something about these poppies, the plastic poppies that you wore kind of thing. You had to have one, you know, you got one, you know, I'm three, I'm throwing the poppy on. If I lost my poppy, we got scolded like you wouldn't believe, like, you know, like there was like, Kayama! And so these poppies were so important to my dad that we just, as children, we hated them. We absolutely hated them because that's around this time of year. That's all he talked about. And we didn't know why. Like, I think he was the third youngest of 13 kids kind of thing. And two of his brothers served in the armed forces, but he never did. And so I could never figure out. And I know as his father did, as my grandfather, but he was so hyped on these poppies. He was so hyped on these poppies. And he died on the 8th of November and we buried him on Remembrance Day. So we're sitting in the church and there's so many things about the funeral that were actually funny, where the four of us kids burst out laughing halfway through the funeral because we just couldn't take it anymore. That's, you know, a story altogether. But at one point my sister leaned over to me and she said, well, I don't think I'm gonna wear another one of those fucking poppies again. You know, and that was my sort of, so now I don't really wear one, and I have people look at me, or the people will offer to, you know, get me a poppy, and I'll go, look, I'll give you the money for the poppy, I don't want the poppy. And they'll go, well, don't you know what they're for? And I go, yeah, I know what they're for. And it's a bit selfish that I'm not wearing one, but I know what they symbolize to me. And so I don't want to be anywhere near one of those.
It was a poppy poppies. for Veterans Day?
Poppies for Veterans Day. Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. See, like the whole generational shift now when someone says, like, I had a person ask, are you open on Veterans Day for the gym? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, why wouldn't we be open for Veterans Day? Because it's a holiday. I'm like, you know, the change in the tides of how people view veterans now, they're seen as murderers or nut jobs that'll try and kill you with a spork while they're sitting outside of a McDonald's parking lot on the fucking ground. Like, it's a different time. It's a different age. But I think when it comes to the grips of how you choose to see if your life is valuable or not, I think you got to make comparisons on yourself. Like, what do you want to accomplish? I think hobbies, for instance, the only good part about them is that they do keep you in a state of like doing something until you end up getting bored with that hobby. It just depends on the length of how, you know, you get bored with it. And people sometimes use their hobbies to be creative, but I think at this day and age, I mean, everybody comes to grips just like with alcohol and weed or whatever type of drug. Everyone has their dealings with that demon, which is the depression demon, which is those thoughts of those types of things if you really matter. And I can't really give you advice on that aspect of things too, because I mean, every day can be a battle in some aspects, but it's about finding something and finding what you feel like you might be good at. You know, there's a large misunderstanding in life in general when it comes to people trying to understand or trying to examine their own life into somebody else's. And I can't do that for you, but I can sit here and listen and understand a little bit too. The world doesn't do a whole lot of that.
No, it doesn't. Like the poppies come from World War I, Flanders Field. It's a poem, Flanders Field, where poppies grow. And so there it's interesting that you would say they're kind of losing their meaning because a lot of the generation coming up doesn't understand the correlation between poppies and veterans. You made a very interesting comment about hobbies and about finding the things that are good for you. And I think in our time, in our society, we've sort of degraded hobby to be, I wouldn't say a bad thing, but they're a useless thing. They're wasted. The way sometimes when people say, well, that's just my hobby.
Because unless it doesn't make money, then nobody gives a shit. I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes
you get a job making a world.
Yeah, sometimes hobbies are creators. Like I used to work with this guy in this when I first got divorced, I was working in this huge food warehouse, the largest fresh food warehouse in the EU, actually, at the time. And one of the guys I worked with was he was a former gang member. But you know, we're talking like London gangs kind of thing, you know, like the wide boy. Oh,
and more suit, less tattoo on the face.
Well, no. Well,
did he have a tattoo on his face?
No, he didn't have a tattoo on his face, but these are the guys who used to do things like, yeah, look, I go after the guy and I've got my shotgun and I load it with rock salt. And I use rock salt because, you know, when you shoot the guy and it's, you know, it dissolves, so there's no forensics. You're like,
Jesus.
You know, it's that type of thing where he'd have one would be bird shot, Casper, the other one would be buckshot. It's
first thing in the morning for me. Don't fucking put me in a depression right in the first
thing. But this guy had anger issues. And he's my age kind of thing. So when I met him, I thought he was one of the nicest guys I'd ever met in my entire life. And one of the things he used to do was he would randomly dress up in costumes. Like he'd do the full on like Adam West Batman thing and show up at work dressed up like that with like a KFC bucket. And for collecting money for someone who just had an operation and they couldn't afford to pay their bill. And so he'd go around the warehouse going, hey, do you guys got any, you know, got any change? You got any change? He's fucking dressed as fucking Batman. And he go, and his hobby, where this is where this comes, his hobby is taking recycled junk and turning it into children's toys. That's his hobby. But it's a creative thing. And so even though it's a hobby, doesn't make it any less valuable kind of thing. To and I,
but what's the real reason why he's doing that? It might be because he's trying to balance out for all the horrible shit he's done. He's like, I don't want to fully go to hell yet. Yeah, let me just punch my ticket either way.
Exactly. The reason why he's doing it is because actually he's undercover.
It's like when you hear a painter that ends up being like a child molester, you're like, oh my God, he was so nice. It's like, yeah, it's probably the other way around.
They're always so nice. The serial killers are always so nice. I remember
I seem peaceful, but I got a hair trigger snap on some things too when it comes to like lines of authority and the way people treat other people. I lose it.
I've seen some of the things that you've done. You're pretty good when you're doing your show because you'll snap. But you keep it in control. But there's certain things you can tell, like a finger wag. You'll go, there are so many things. You can just see it. You go, there's so many things I want to say to you, young man.
I bite my tongue like a motherfucker,
yes,
don't I?
Yes, exactly.
There's a couple times something gets brought up, and I'm like, oh, you don't even fucking know.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you're in that. You know, that makes you a good host because you see it and you go, okay, I could.
It's not about what I believe in. It's about the person.
Yeah, well, because you've invited this guest on to express their views. And if you don't, the interesting thing about Out of the Blank is there's so many different types of views. Like if you chose to believe all of them, your head would melt kind of thing because they're so contradictory. And so that's the cool thing about, that's what makes life interesting, that there are still people out there who have so many different contradictory things. But, you know, going back to like hobby, the reason why I'm such a big kicker on hobby is for the longest time, people told me my voice career was just a hobby. Just a hobby. You know, you're not going to go very far with that. It's just a hobby, you know, kind of thing. And I went, it's not just a hobby. If it's something, if it's a creative outlet for you, call it a creative outlet rather than hobby. Change that name. I remember hobby was such a, I didn't like the word very much kind of thing, but now it's the fact that I think you're one in particular where you change your outlets every so often. You'll go, well, this is my new thing. You know, this is what I'm interested in now. Do you ever go back to old things that you used to do and like revisit stuff where you go and go, why was I interested in this? Or go, oh yeah, I remember this. This was fun.
I'm usually still doing the same things I've always done before.
You just add something else?
Done the gym for almost 10 years every day. And then I gave up painting, I guess. I mean, I don't really feel the need.
It's
too tasking.
Yeah, the gym's an interesting thing. Like, do you consider that a hobby or is that?
No, I need that.
A way
before
of life.
I even do a podcast, I have to lift. I can't be before. It can't be after. Or actually, it has to be after.
So it's for you, it's a lifestyle rather than.
Because I'll fucking kill somebody. That's what'll happen. I need, it's like to even talk
with
to people.
With your mind?
Like when I work and then I have to work out when I get off work, that is like that whole time at work, I'm like a dog with a biscuit on his nose, like ready for that lift or ready. That's all I'm thinking about. I can barely even function or talk to people. I just have a hair trigger snap. But then afterwards, I'm more mellowed out. I'm more, because I come from like an experience of being bullied a lot when I was a kid. So for looks. So then when I hit puberty and, you know, got into the gym and everything, it all kind of shifted. And then it's now the opposite way where there are people like, the people that bully me are like, can I get a six pack like you? I'm like, dude, do it on your own. I can't help. Sorry. I don't like telling people what to do. Even when I'm trying to get you to do this like voice acting thing for the film thing, I'm like over here, like, I can't do it. I can't just tell you what to do. It just feels so icky to me because I think we're at the same level. I mean, even though you might be just doing a favor, especially, but you know, if you're doing something that's going to be like, oh, cool, interesting, tell me more. It's like, I can tell you, but I also want you to take your own direction with things too. I just think there's, like I said, not a lot of listening, but there's a lot of people that just feel like they can just give orders or talk around. I'm like, well, you wonder why nothing really gets done. I'm cool as a cucumber on most things. But there's just the intolerance aspect in so many things. So I was like, you wonder why people are all pissed off all the time and depressed all the fucking time. And then it's a never ending cycle of just eating shit. Like, I want to understand better. Like, I'm jealous of the people that can literally sit in a library and just love every second of it. And time goes by like it's that. Because I could never do that. But people out there really enjoy that experience. And I think once you can truly understand the thing that you might be jealous of might be something that has a better outlook on life than you do, you start to understand why that person can enjoy it. Necessarily, I'm not the one that wants to sit in a library, but I'll try and find my creative outlet somewhere. And I think the main unlock is by using what I have and then not trying to be jealous of the things that I don't. You know, I would love to make amazing music. I can't. I would love to be in films, but I don't have that resource. So the best thing that I can do is use what I've already got or what I've already tried to do. Don't be afraid of taking a shot. But at the same time, I don't want to turn this into like a motivational shit, but you dug me into a weird rabbit hole at the start of this podcast.
I did, which is
fucking threw me off.
I did, yeah. But we're still smiling. That's the whole point. I mean, that was the whole point of why I started this off, was to go change the deck, which is what you've done. Like you've taken what you have, your cards, and you're playing them, and you play the hands you got, kind of thing. And you also said that you don't take the time to get jealous of other people, because there's no point. there's no point in getting jealous of someone who is maybe a movie star or a musician or something, because they've got a different skill set. They've also worked differently than you did. I mean, unless they did something where they were given it to them, kind of thing, which there's some, you know.
You bet your ass, when I looked up Lil Nas's age and saw that he was 21 years old, I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, there are some of those things. But for the most part, for most people, they are where they are because of this, not only just their, you know, it could be skill, talent, luck, place. There's lots of things, you know, in life. But when, like, say when one of my buddies books a job and I don't get it, I'm not going to say never, because sometimes I'll go, but I'm, for the most part, I'm happy with them, because it means somebody that I know is at least working, kind of thing. So the thing about voiceover, just really quick, is your voice is a fingerprint. So if they're not hiring you, it's not because they don't necessarily like you. It's because they went with a different voice. So for you, for example, like when you're doing stuff or when you're getting stuff out there, you've got your own talent tree. You got your own shit going on. You got your own flavor, the way you cook, the way all this stuff. I'm throwing out so many metaphors. This is ridiculous. I'm going to get lost in, am I playing cards or am I cooking in the kitchen?
Well, you can't expend energy in so many different aspects and still want to still maintain progress. Like, for instance, if you're doing voiceover work, you're expending energy at being mad at somebody else for maybe getting something, or you're expending energy with dealing some other type of issue. Maybe it's your ex or something like that. You're still holding on to branches, and technically you might have to cut some of them fucking branches. I mean, the best thing that I got recently was the fact of, like, when I'm doing this stuff to make this thing, I'm having all these people where I'm like, you know me, you know how this goes. And they're like, I'm 100% in it. I know the concept of you. I got you. I'm going to do it. And it's like hearing all those people say that, like, oh, we got it. You don't even need to explain anymore. I'm with you. And it's like knowing that they know that I'm not going to use it for nefarious purposes, or I'm not going to be some type of, like, just anything that's not me. And I'm like, that's all I fucking wanted. Like, I think that's all anybody should ever aspire to be. I never expect anybody to be more than who they are or what I know about them. You know, I'll never ask any more than what I think you would be equipped for. I just think that everyone has their own individual roads. I never expect them to stay on it 100% of the time. I expect them to go above or below, depending on how it goes. But I think people need to spend more time being an individual rather than trying to model their success off someone that might be more popular. And like I said, I'm 23 years old. That's coming from nothing, basically. But I'm just saying there's a lot of modeling on other famous people where I'm just like, look, you got to do your own little thing, man. Like, I think everybody's worth the time of day. It just depends on if you piss me off or not. And I think that only comes off to an aspect of when you start being intolerant of other people or thinking that you're higher up than anybody. I don't think anybody in this world is worth more than anybody else's time.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I mean, this is the age of the reboot, in a way, where they're, you know, people are looking
Matrix 4.
Matrix 4, but even, you know, they're redoing Buck Rogers and the, you know, in the 25th century. Why? You know, like, why are they redoing Buck Rogers? Why are they? I think they were planning on bringing, there's a couple other the ones from the past that we're going to bring back. And you go, guys, make something new. You know, even if it's a continuation of, don't go redo the old shit, kind of thing. Even if it's a sequel, make a sequel. Don't do, and, you know, it's a weird time. And the, yeah, you hope that people expand. It's, you know, with the copycats and all this stuff, you know, you look at, you know, video games or something, a video game will come, or a movie. Movies are a great example where you'll see a movie will come out, and then literally within 8 months, another 9 films will come out that are all kind of the same plot. The same, and usually the first movie to come out is not the best movie. What it is they've heard, say there's a, it's this summer, it's going to be all about angels. So they've, you know, somebody's heard, hey, they're making a movie about angels. We got to do that too. Oh yeah, we do. And so they'll rush really fast, get their movie out first, so that when the big blockbuster angel movie comes out, a lot of its hype is actually sort of unspun already, because there's already been the angel movie out that's kind of the same, that wasn't really as good, but they pushed production on it to get it out first. Then you'll have all the other ones come out, and it's like, guys, why are you doing that? You know, just, it's a weird time. It's a, we got some weird, which is why, you know, this project is going to be fun, kind of thing. Because if you had anybody on your, that's been on your show more than twice, they get you, man.
Yeah,
they get, you know, it's that's the thing, you know, and 1,000 episodes, man.
Yeah, and you're ending it on fucking suicide right out the pack. I hope someone didn't just fucking drive their car off a road.
No. See, that's so the whole
There's
thing about that was
in my studio.
Yeah, well, I get it. See, that's the whole thing, man. It didn't happen to me. It was 30 years ago.
I set up fucking fly traps around my house, and it says specifically that it kills gnats, and they didn't catch a single fucking one. Not a single fucking one. And I'm like, why do we have gnats? And it's this fucking air fresheners I have in my house. It happened right after I installed them all, but they're all like orange scents, like very citrusy. Yeah. And I looked up, which, and it's is like, they're attracted to citrus. I was like, so I can't have my fucking house smell nice. Because
really? Yeah, because
fucking, and it's still,
because here in the UK they say, oh yeah, you want to get rid of flies, cut an orange in half and put it on your windowsill.
Ah,
get rid of
fucking
flies.
Wives' tale bullshit.
Exactly. That's what I'm guessing.
Have you gotten sleep in your eyes in a while? I haven't had that happen in like a very long time.
It's when I sleep, I kind of do. I guess I'm up and down. I got a cat that keeps waking me up every 2 hours. Wants to have a conversation.
Where does that come from? Why do you have these crust on your eyes?
That's your tear ducts.
They're drying out. I'm dying.
Yes, you could be dying.
Oh my god.
You could be. It depends. No, I started it that way to let you know that it, even though it's something that was a bit heavy, it's changed my view of life, the way I'm going to be, and I'm better for it. I'm much better for it.
Have you set up any goals that you want to accomplish?
Well, my first goal that I really wanted to get was to get rid of that fucking bar that I'd put up, kind of thing. And that's pretty much what I've been doing all this week, was where I said I put up the age 57 bar, my limbo bar. Get rid of that bar, because that's stupid, because I got shit to do. So I'm planning on being around quite a bit longer than 50 than 57, you know.
Tell me about what shit you got to do.
Well, this is going to sound, no, it's actually not. I'm going to tell the world who gives it. I have this sort of, when I was going through a really, really, I think I mentioned it before, when I was going through a really, really tough time, I stumbled across this Japanese all-girl band that dressed up like maids. They're called Bandmaid. And when I first saw them, I went, well, this is a bit weird, because from a North American point of view, you look at them and you go, oh, this is a bit weird. So I did a bit of research into the girls and found out they're all absolutely fantastic musicians. And, you know, they write their own shit. You know, Jimmy Page heard them in concert once, thinks their drummer is the reincarnation of John Bonham, you know, and, you know, from Led Zeppelin. And it's like, wow, this is insane. So
thing
anything
fans better than us at.
Well, there's a good joke about that. It's like, you are never, whenever you say to someone, you're the best in the world, you're not, because there's a 12-year-old Japanese girl who could do it better. that's just the way it is. But the whole point of this is, I made myself sort of a lottery list, when I was getting really, really low, kind of thing. And I said, one of my goals is to be able to fund and produce a tour for these girls. I don't care how I'm going to do it. I'm working on it. I'm working it. So I'm trying to find, there's a language barrier and all this stuff, which, so I'm learning Japanese. I've been learning Japanese for 7 months now, kind of thing. I'm getting,
Jesus,
you know,
Christ,
that's,
Casper,
that's
do
moving
something
along
for yourself, like go on a trip to Tahiti this, or something.
But well, but this is for myself. This is, you know, this is making me feel good. So
I think I've mentioned it in an episode, not with you, but with someone else in the past. But you're a good person. You're a very good, supportive person when it comes to aspects of things. And I think everyone needs that in their life, which is it's strange. That's why I wanted to incorporate you in this film so much that I'm trying to make.
Thank you.
Because I'm like, you deserve like a spot where someone else is, you're not just taking care of somebody else. You got someone else that's, you know, at least thinking about you in some aspects of things. And I think that's important. I think everyone just wants to feel like somebody's thinking about them, hopefully in a good way, not a bad way, even though some people revel in the bad.
That is true. I try not, and I didn't revel it.
Like
you
when
know,
your ears itch and like someone's talking about you. I'm like, is that fucking true? I hope not. My ears are always fucking itching.
Exactly. You're kind of like,
either I got a goddamn skin condition or someone's talking shit.
That's why I'm usually wearing headphones, this kind of thing. Why are you wearing your headphones? Are you on the air? No, it's to stop my ears from itching.
It's kind of like when I go to a store, I always just put headphones in, even though they're not listening to anything. Just because I don't want people like going up and striking up a conversation. But then when I was leaving the gym, someone was like talking to me from a distance and they got in front of my car and was like, oh, dude, I was calling your name. I was like, I had headphones in. Like, I don't think people realize I got my hood up and the headphones and you can't see the headphones because they're not wired anymore. They're Bluetooth. So I'm like, my biggest pet peeve is like, I don't like when people talk at a gym. Like when I'm working out, I don't want people like, I'm sitting there benching, like 50,000 people start coming in. I'm like, the one day I choose the bench, everybody comes into the weight room where the bench is and decides, oh, I'm going to lift in here instead of out there like I normally do. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think of that weather out there? It's kind of hot. Oh, it's cold. You just shut up. Just go away.
I mean, I'm nice after my workout, but good God, when I'm in the middle of it, I was like, I don't want to strike up.
You need the chemicals. You need the chemicals.
I need to get the demons out of my body.
Well, that's what this does to me. Gets the this is my workout in a way. So, of course, I could probably use a more physical one, but mentally, I love these chats kind of thing because it gets me. Because you'll always ask me a question where I'll go, what?
Do you have a happy story in the bank for me?
That is, you know what? That is a happy story.
Well, I'm glad you flipped your perspective on it because, I mean, that can literally fester into your head.
And that's the thing. And that's actually what it is. It's more of an inspirational story. It's sort of like for everybody else out there who's going through the shit, it's not about, look at it this way. It's not about you. It's about them. So it's easy to flip your perspective on it kind of thing. And you just, we've all got the, we might not. We might need help from friends. So, you know, seek them out because if you're trying to do everything on your own, it's sort of like lifting without spotting, you know, kind of thing. You might be able to do it, but there's every so often there's that one day, where you might need a spotter kind of thing. So, oops, I banged my camera. So that was actually, it started out bad, but it's actually good. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you a funny thing about it then. At the funeral, when we're sitting there, there's all us kids, we're sitting at the funeral in the front and we're in our early 20s. And there's my mom sitting over there and there's all my uncles and aunts. They're all alcoholics. My dad grew up in a family of alcoholics. So 8 o'clock in the mornings, you know, when we buried my dad, one of my uncles comes in and goes, yes, do you think we got time for a libation before the funeral? And at the time I had to look up libation. I didn't know what it meant. And I think, but it's a drink for the dead kind of thing, you know? So they're all hammered. They're all absolutely hammered. All my uncles and aunts. And they're all in there, like, you know, my age now, maybe a bit older, and they're all bitching and complaining and yelling at each other and poking and punching each other like they're brothers and sisters, and they're all acting like they're three. And we get to the funeral and we're sitting in the front row and I keep hearing this and I look over my shoulder and one of my uncles is a tobacco chewer, so he brought in his tobacco with him in this milk carton cut in half, and through the entire service he was going and beside him his sister was going, oh, for God's sakes, like, could you not leave that? And so they were bitching at each other through the entire service. Then the priest comes out, we're Catholic, the priest comes out and he goes, I am not the normal priest. The priest who was to be here has to be somewhere else. I'm the exchange guy from Poland. So
I will, young child.
Yeah, exactly. So I will, I will do the service. He barely spoke English. So he gets into the sermon, the homily, and he starts it off and he goes, you know, in the name of the Father, the Son. I did not know Richard that. And then he cut it about 30 seconds and he goes, I'm just going to do it in Polish. And so he did the entire sermon in Polish. Nobody understood him. Nobody understood him except for this little old lady in the back of the church who was going,
She was just nodding her head like she knew.
Yeah. And at that point, all four of us kids started laughing. We were just in the front because there was all this stuff building up, like the bitching and complaining that was going on behind us. And so here you have this force, and when the giggles, they broke out between us and we couldn't stop them. By the end, so here's the minister, he's talking, and all four of us kids were bent over and we're laughing, and we were laughing so hard by the end of the service because everything was, it was just spiraling out of control. Everything was, it was all so ridiculous. And at the time, I remember we didn't feel bad. You know, we had people staring at us like, why are they laughing? This is their dad's funeral. Why are they laughing? And it's because they just, the whole context of everything that was going on and about how the day had started, you know, like, you know, and how all my uncles and aunts are absolutely hammered at 8 o'clock in the morning kind of thing. It was like, how did, you know, what's this going on? And, you know, and then driving to the cemetery, the car in front of us, because, for some reason, the kids, we were in a car behind my uncles and aunts. And so there was, because there's like 11 of them, the car door in front of us, we're watching, the door kept opening through to the entire drive. And I kept wanting to go to the driver. I think we need to tell them the back door is not closed properly because it keeps opening and shutting and opening and shutting. It was my fucking uncle, the tobacco chewer. So his sister took away his milk carton in the service. So through the entire drive out to the cemetery, he was opening up the door going because she took his milk carton away, and he, you know, and he's 57 and she's 61 and she took his milk carton away. And you kind of, that's where we just kind of went, oh, this is just, it was one of those things where it just, that day, actually, after the funeral, we went and we got a bunch of fireworks. We went to the middle of a field and we set off fireworks to celebrate, you know, the crazy that was going to happen. But at the same time, it was just like, it's, death is one of those things that, again, it's not, it has,
it's one of the slimiest businesses that basically humankind has learned how to profit off of. They used to sell coffins in Costco. Everything now I started looking at, like, everyone just found a way to make a buck off something, which I'm not mad at, but you just realize how slimy of a business everything is now. Even when it comes to conversation, I mean, if this was making money, it would turn slimy. You know what I mean? Because it was technically just doing it for money at some points, you know?
Because we had crazy, like, one of the things that happened to me, this is, so I've been gone from my hometown for 2 years. I went to college, you know, and so when the funeral happens, we, you know, all of us kids, none of us kids were actually at home. We all had to fly into where, from where we were. And I had just moved into, I was living in Vancouver, and I just started a new play, actually. And this all happened. We fly back. We're at the, we have the service and the ceremony. And then after, in true Catholic fashion, you have a meal where everyone who is at the, which you pay for.
So, and wait, that's where it comes from. I had to do that with my grandmother as well, too. My great
grandmother. Yeah. And so, yeah. So we're at the meeting hall. So we put on this, it'd be like a wake in a way, you know, so you have this meal. And then at some point, all the family is supposed to line up and people come by and they express their condolences kind of thing, you know. And I'm standing there, the eldest son, you know, this is my hometown I grew up in. You know, at this time I would have been, what was it, 23, I think, at this time. And so it's a magic age kind of thing. So I'd spent 20 years you know, in this city. I was, you know, I was a hockey player. Everybody knew who I was. And I'm standing there, and almost every single person that came up to offer condolences looked at me and went, friend of the family? And I would go, and I went, Bill, I know you. I know your kids. I know. And they would go, Casper? And I would go, yes. And there's, I'd only been gone for 2 years. It's not like all of a sudden my skin changed color, or, you know, I put on a different head. I put on a couple pounds, but nothing like nothing. So literally in 2 years, you leave this little village and you come back and people are going, friend of the family. I'm going, what?
I am the family.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, when you're the eldest son, and like, I was going, I went to school with you for 18 years. Did you?
I just had that happen the other day. I was at my work, and a lady comes in and she scans her card. I'm like, her face looks so fucking familiar. And then I looked at the last name and I was like, oh my God, that's my seventh grade teacher. That used to be like, you're not getting recess. And so the reason why I can never say the word cuz when I write it, I always say because she made me write like 1,000 times on a piece of paper, because over and over and over again. But I never strictly remembered. I just remember her. She'd always tell us stories of like, I remember when I was like in my 20s, and she wasn't that much older. She was like, I was probably like 12 or 14, and she was probably like late 30s. And she would come in and she'd be like, me and my husband always trying to go out to eat or something. Everyone was smoking at a dinner table. You know, they used to have the smoking section, because I think at this time there was still kind of smoking that was going on. But like, there were certain sections of it. Now they just completely erased that out. Like, now you can't even smoke in your car with your kid in the back. Like, before that was just an everyday thing. Your parent would tell you to roll the fucking window down, and then you'd be like, okay. And then the smoke would go out your window instead of going out theirs.
Yeah. That's, it's funny. I'm surprised you didn't say to her, are you here because of the weights? or cause of the weights? Or are you here because of the weights? And she'd look at you and she would go, Robbie.
I would. Thousand. I'm surprised teachers don't remember the students, but I guess we change too. It's kind of like when like my little nephew, you know, I don't see him for a couple of months or something. Then he comes over and then he's like taller and like different. I'm like, oh my God, like, thank God I'm keeping like tabs on you. I was like, that's why grandparents always ask for pictures of their grandkids.
You know, the irony of smoking is that long haul flights.
I fucking love it.
Well, no, but long haul flights, the air was actually cleaner than it is now. And people would always go, even though they had like a smoking section in the back of the airplane. And you go, how is that possible? They were smoking in the plane. It's because they used to recycle, or they used to pump in new air.
Yeah. And they had the smoker section in the back of the airplane where the fucking oxygen tanks were. Why would you even think about doing that?
Well, still, but I mean, back, all I'm saying is the actual air quality was better than it is now. Because what happens now is when people get off long haul flights and they think, I've got jet lag, you get to see, do you have a net?
You see it?
I can see your eyes. Your eyes also went.
I don't know. It goes away, and I think I killed it, and then it fucking comes back.
Yeah, because what they do now is they recycle the air. So by the end of the flight, you're actually suffering from carbon dioxide poisoning.
You're not going to notice this, but when I leave this podcast chat, I'm going to lose my shit in my fucking podcast room to kind of kill this thing. I spent like $10 going to like 4 different stores getting fly traps, and I caught one.
That's the thing. Well, maybe you need to. Is there any electronic USB thing
to it, dude? I got stuck. I was trying to pull the thing out of the thing, and it got stuck to my cabinet, and then my whole white cabinet went fucking like yellow, like that sticky stuff they have on there. I was like, oh my God, how am I gonna fix that?
That's the thing. That's back. Remember the fly strips they used to have? They were big in the barns. Well,
did they make a bug bomb and then you got to leave your house like all fucking day? I was like, I remember my grandparents when I used to go over there, they're like, we got to bug bomb the house. It's like, we can't be in the house all day. What do you want to see? So me and my grandpa just saw 5 fucking movies all day. We went to the movie theaters and saw 5 films. We saw Men Who Stare at Goats. We saw Ghost Riders. We saw like a bunch of shit. I don't know if they were all at the same time though, because I have to think. I know we saw Men Who Stare at Goats. I know we saw some type of romantic film. We literally just kept going into different theaters. And I was like, oh, can we go back yet? It's been like 9 hours. We went out and got lunch. We were going to get dinner. But then we went back to the house, I think like an hour right before he said it was going to be fine. And I was like, did we need to be gone all day? But the whole fucking house reeked. And I was like, did it kill whatever it was? And I was like, I never want to experience that. So I'm at the store buying fly traps and I see bug bombs. I'm like, I ain't fucking doing that. That's an all day process.
Yeah. It's sort of like, I wonder if those put fumigators out of business, because we had to, our place had to be fumigated once. And that was what a disaster that was, because I remember coming back to my bedroom and everything was covered in this thin white powder. Okay. And they're supposed to clean that up, kind of thing. But after the fumigation process, the guy just walked into the bedroom and went, poosh! And then I'm not sure if he had one of those hand hoovers or something where he's, and then but you know, we came back, you could literally see our footprints in the white. It was like somebody put a flower bomb off in the house, and you go, I don't think this is healthy. This can't be healthy. People not doing the jobs. People not doing the jobs. I hope you get that thing, man. I hope you get it.
It's not going to die. Nothing ever dies that you want to die. It's kind of like, I used to work at a hotel and they used to have to bug bomb rooms with like extreme heat. Hold on, I see it. Oh, damn it. That was too slow. Okay. But there was a bug bomb that they would pressure treat this room and they would ignite it inside the fucking room. And then you couldn't go in there. But if you get bed bugs or anything like that, dude, that's like, I remember coming home after throwing out those sheets and then I felt itchy all fucking night. I thought I had it, and then my whole house is going to be infested with it. And I'm like, I don't like that type of shit. Like, I love all beauty in the world, but stay outside of my fucking home if you can. Like, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and there's some things that you kind of go, I'm sure someone thinks you're beautiful. I do not. Please.
I don't know anybody who thinks a gnat's beautiful. I bet if you examine it under a microscope, it looks like the devil itself.
Well, exactly, gnat. But it's probably wearing, you know, Groucho Marx. You know, mustache.
Ooh, I know what I want to talk to you about. Did you see they weaponized Sesame Street?
What?
They had Big Bird put up a thing like all kids should get their vax. And then they have a whole fucking episode where they have I will pull this up on the fucking thing. We can do that now.
So they basically.
Big Bird put out a tweet and said something about getting vaccinated as a kid. And then Ted Cruz commented like, good fucking job, Big Bird, or some jab at Big Bird. But then they did a whole Sesame Street episode, and Oscar the Grouch is the one that's saying that one drug that everyone calls a horse thing. Don't say the name of it because it'll get us taken off YouTube.
Oh, no, I don't. Because here in the UK, we had different things. So I won't say what those are, kind of thing. But, so that's.
How do you weaponize Sesame Street?
I'm surprised they didn't do it sooner, unless the guys who control it, like Henson, had certain things, like not getting the government in about certain things, you know, because you know,
oh my god, let me read you the videos. Big Bird talks to Dr. Gupta about COVID-19 vaccine fears. Sesame Street, the ABCs of COVID vaccines. Elmo's daddy Louie got vaccinated. Sesame Street's Big Bird helps kids prepare for COVID-19. What the fuck, Nick? Did they give it to him on air? What have we come to as a society?
Wow!
What have we come to as a society? They're kind of,
in many ways, that's like closing the barn door after the horses have run away, because they're about 18 months too late to be doing stuff like this, because it's weird. Weird that this would come out now. You know, when stuff like this comes out now, my first thought was, and this is just me, but my first thought is, what else is going on that they don't want us to look at? Oh, you faded away. Did you net something? Your voice is gone. Oh, you're muted. Yeah,
Yeah, I guess my computer couldn't handle opening up a browser doing that because but I have issues with my microphone. I'm like, look, if my microphone goes out around the time I hit 1,000 episodes, I ain't doing the podcast anymore. That's a $500 microphone.
That's a good. Is that a Shure?
Yeah,
sure. Those are very good podcast microphones you use. So the it's as I was saying, the
weaponizing Sesame Street in an aspect of like, hey kids, Big Bird got it, and Oscar the Grouch is the one that uses this one. And it's like, why are you so biased in it? Like, you would think you'd just be happy if someone got over the fucking thing, but it became this, so like everyone's going after Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is like, oh, he lied about saying that he was, because all NFL players had to be. And I'm just like, oh my god, it's gonna be the rest of our lives. Am I gonna see like a commercial for like, I don't know, I'm gonna see Shaq instead of saying icy hot, he's talking about, you know, get it. I just can't do it. Fucking society's going to shit. I mean, it's always been shit. Yeah, I prefer when it was Kennedy lying about like the Cuban Missile Crisis and all this type of shit, or you know, all that was going on. But no, now it's why we got to go back to the mafia days. Casper, if I could ask you, pick what period in time you would like to go back to, what would it be? Anything in time. You didn't have to experience it.
Oh, definitely the 30s. I would have loved to. Well, see, and then
a fucking 30s, mouth cancer and all that.
No, but 30s. No, but 30s outside of. I've always felt that I've been a part of that kind of time, like around the Humphrey Bogarts and the Clark Gables and the, you know, that type of, where they sort of weren't, this is going to sound, but it's my dream. So not experiencing the depression, but you're in there because there were parts of America during the 30s that did quite well, kind of thing. And there's just something about the 30s and the 40s, that I find fascinating. Absolutely fine.
What would you do specifically? That what would be the first thing?
I'd buy a zoot suit.
The fuck's a zoot suit?
It's a zoot suit, or what all the Latino gangsters used to wear. During the 40s, particularly during the war, they put a ration on cloth. It's the reason why suits during the 40s were single-breasted, all the stuff that they were, because they were rationing cloth to make suits. A zoot suit purposely used extra material. So a jacket on a zoot suit would come down almost to your knees. The trousers would come up just underneath your armpits. The hats had brims that came out like they're like a fedora would have a foot brim. All the way around it, kind of thing. And they were the ones who wore the chains. Cab Calloway, perfect example. Minnie the Moocher, when he's singing Minnie the Moocher, he's wearing a zoot suit. If you ever see the video for it,
it's kind of like shitting and or showering and then taking a shit. It's like, why would you do that after? Why wouldn't you do it before?
What do you mean?
You shit and then you shower.
Yeah, but
you said extra work. I was like, that's like showering and then shitting. It's like that you still have to clean yourself. You just hop in the shower afterwards.
No, it's not extra work. What do you mean extra work? What are you talking about?
You don't have to wipe your ass after you take a crap and then go to the shower.
You've lost me, man.
How have I lost you? Did my mic go out again?
No, because you said, I wasn't talking about extra work. I said a zoot suit. I want to buy a zoot suit.
The zoot suit was like extra work to it. And I said, that's like shitting
and
showering.
No. A zoot suit is extra cloth, extra material. It had extra.
Do you wipe your ass?
Do I?
Sometimes.
No, I have someone do it for me.
I was about to say, if you had a bidet. I've had that response already. Someone's like, I have a bidet. I was like, really? Fucking living in a whole other world, aren't you?
And somebody's like, a bidet? It's like, yeah, I don't have one of those. I got a shoe cleaner, though.
If there's one thing...
In my bathroom.
If there's one thing I could do... I would go back to when you could smoke a cigarette in like a club and you could like watch comedy or watch a performance and smoke a cigarette. I'm not even a cigarette smoker. I just really enjoy the aspect of like just freedom.
One of my
ash on the table.
Well, I'm not going to say favorite memories, but one of my most distinctive memories is being 7 years old. My mom drops me off at the Saturday matinee. I'm about to watch King Kong versus Godzilla for the 37th time because in a small town, they recycled the movies all the time. And all the babysitters used to sit in the back of the cinema, the movie theater, and smoke. So all the kids were there just to goof around and see your friends or whatever. And the entire theater is filled with smoke. And you could just see the smoke billowing out from the back. And because it's projecting, I remember just looking up and watching the smoke, you know, through the theater production. And it's just a classic memory for me of just seeing all that smoke, just not thinking anything of it, not thinking, it was just the atmosphere. It was just part of the,
well, I was watching a lot of mafia films and I started to notice, cause I wanted to incorporate something if with this, I got to stop talking about the film I'm fucking creating. It's hard because it's like all it's on my mind. Like while I'm talking to you, I'm just thinking about new ideas and shit.
I get you.
But it's like everyone's smoking a fucking cigarette every minute. Like he pulls up to the thing, immediately lights a cigarette and starts smoking a cigarette. Like, so when did you find him? It's like, oh, I found him about an hour ago. He was laying like this. And it's like, okay, let me write that down. And it's just constantly smoking. I'm just like, you know, was it that common like back then to always just have a fucking cigarette? I guess they must have been way cheaper, but you know, society has gone completely the other way against it.
You're missing a big point there. Who funded the film?
I don't think tobacco industry did.
Back in those days when everybody smoked, they would say things like, it wasn't product placement. It would be things like, just have all your guys smoke. And if they're going to be smoking, just have them smoke our stuff.
Well, that's how the coffee break was created, that the people that were getting funded by the coffee thing, they would incentivize people to go take breaks. Like breaks were only created so people could consume more coffee and then also go on smoke breaks and stuff and incentivized work in a way.
Yeah. So during that time, this is the beginning of, you know, product placement where they're just doing stuff like that. But at the same time, it was also considered, there was a certain image about people who smoked. Even then, you know, kind of thing where it was the bad people, all the bad guys. But also it was considered cool. Cool people also smoked. So you could be the bad. So if you were a gangster, everybody smoked. So you'd walk into a room filled with gangsters. And of course, they all had to smoke because they were like, the character would go, why do I have to smoke? Because you're a gangster. It's in the script. They go, well, no, it just says I'm a gangster. Yeah. And gangsters smoke. So every single person in the room would have a cigarette. Because that's what was considered to be the norm for a gangster. They smoked. They didn't take their hat off inside. They did all this stuff, you know. So you'd see all the gangsters sitting around. And that was the cool thing about gangsters. So, they didn't give a shit.
Well, I was watching Rush Hour 3. And that's like one movie that I saw with my grandpa. And everyone's like, that's a racist ass movie. I was like, how is it racist? So I had to rewatch it. So I was on the elliptical and I was watching Rush Hour 3. I was like, oh, okay, I can see it. There's a lot of shit in this film that, like, it was stereotypical comedy like back in the day, but like now it does not age fucking well. It's kind of like Tropic Thunder and doing blackface. This one was like, who are you? He goes, I am you. He goes, not you, you. And he's like, no, I am you. He goes, shut your damn mouth. And it's just like him, like, making fun of the dude's name. And then he goes, well, then if I'm, you know, if you're half Chinese and I'm half black, and that means, yo, what's fly? And he's just saying all this horrible, like, well, I mean, it didn't age well, but it was comedy back then. But that's how they stereotypical did it. Like the Chinese guy didn't speak that good of English. And then, you know, as soon as you look at it and I'm like, all right, I can see what people would talk about this film being racist. But I think people boiled it down to something more than it actually was. At the time, it was a fucking fantastic movie. I still like the movie only because I don't really get to see Chris Tucker in a lot of other things.
Yeah,
you know, but you see how society ages with film.
Are you a Mel Brooks fan? Do you watch any Mel Brooks stuff?
I've heard the name, but if you probably rattled off a couple things.
Mel Brooks was most famous for Young Frankenstein, which is one of the most classic comedies you'll ever watch, kind of thing. Which from the 70s, early 70s, but it's a timeless movie. But not only did he do Young Frankenstein, and Mel Brooks also did The Producers, about somebody who wanted to produce a play on Broadway about Hitler, because they wanted it to bomb. That was the whole point. And it ends up becoming a success because it's so weird and wacky. But he also did Blazing Saddles. And Blazing Saddles takes racism to the extreme, to the point, but it's so intelligently written that it still stands up today. Like when you have people of color watch that movie, they get it. They get what Mel Brooks, very Jewish, very, you know, constantly, but Blazing Saddles, but he, in that, he, and that is very important in the movie, the Jewish aspect of it. And he plays up the way, like what it is a black sheriff.
I've seen Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that's so well written and so funny. And when you watch back on it and you go, okay, that's clever. That's clever. How the, you know, how he makes fun of different aspects of race. He makes fun of racism.
Yeah. It's like when I heard the interview with Quentin Tarantino and he was talking about all the films and all the crap that he gets a lot of hate for. It's like, well, you start to, you boil it down to something more than it just being a film. Like, you understand that, like, it's an interpretation, it's a thing. This is not propaganda to create some type of thing, but it's so hard to tell because Squid Games was propaganda and people didn't even realize it. You know, Squid Games had certain aspects to it that were jabs at other countries, like America. The only guy in there that was white was a fat guy that wanted to get a blowjob from one of the servants. Like, you start to see, like, there's other just random shit that gets incorporated that people pick up on, and it's like, necessarily it might not be evil. Like, I don't think Brad Pitt's literally bashing a woman's face off the mantelpiece when he's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but Quentin Tarantino directed it that fucking way, so people don't look at that. It's weird who people choose to string up, and it's very weird when I see the actors or these comedians or whoever do something that is outside of their realm of, like, why are they even doing something like that? Like fucking Matthew McConaughey running for governor of Texas. Like, what are we fucking talking about? I don't need to see Fast Times at Ridgemont High being a fucking leader in anything.
Yeah. I mean, you already have Palm Springs
and won't vaccinate his kids. He says, oh, I'm with the mandate, but not with that. And it's like, well, what the fuck? Well, you can't pick and choose. You let one in, you're going to let them all in.
Yeah. He also likes to sit in the wilderness naked for months at a time.
I'd like to sit on a fucking mountain and smoke a cigarette and just be happy. That's it. That's all I want.
That's a perfect thing to do. But what brand though? That'll change, you know.
I'm on I'm smoking Swishers right now. I do them on my cardio days when I do like 5 hours of cardio. I need a cigar type thing. And I got one that's chocolate and vanilla. It's fucking good, dude.
Well, there you go. I gave up smoking when I had my heart attack, and it was hard because I smoked a pipe. So it was, I'd been smoking a pipe for 25 years and I had chocolate flavored tobacco. So it was really good, but it was one of those things where and I look back on that and I think, man, during the 80s, what I considered to be a mental breakdown, you know, or whatever was happening in the 80s, they called it something else. It was chronic fatigue syndrome and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there talking to my GP and my GP goes, okay, I'm going to make a suggestion to you, but don't tell anybody you got it from here. I'm like, okay. He goes, you ever thought about smoking a pipe? And I looked at him and I went, I'm 23 years old. Why would I think about smoking a pipe? He goes, you should think about smoking a pipe. And I go, why? And he goes, because you can't, when you're smoking a pipe, you got to take your time and fill it and put the tobacco in and tamp it down. And then you light it and you might have to light it again. And then you sit and then you can't do anything because if you got a pipe in your mouth, if you're running or whatever, it'll fall out. It'll, you know, so you got to sit in a chair. Maybe. And I go, so a pipe is going to get me to relax. And he went, yeah. And I went, what about cancer? And he goes, oh, stress is going to get you far before cancer will.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, okay. I go, so you want me to go out and get a pipe and start smoking so I can relax? And he went, yeah. So I went out and got a really cheap, pipe, really cheap tobacco. It's like corncob pipe. I smoked this thing. I was like, this is like soap. And I was about to give up. And then my sister back in wherever she was, I was talking to her. I go, yeah, the doctor wants me to smoke a pipe. She goes, oh my God, there's this guy who comes in the bar all the time. He smokes his pipe. He's got this tobacco. It tastes like chocolate. You should get it. And I got some and I went, yeah. And so 25 years later, I was still smoking my pipe.
It's good. I mean, there's a line, obviously, with everything. It gets drawn where it's addiction. But I think when you notice it, like for me, I was getting like I always get two energy drinks during a workout. And I grabbed them and I was like, you know, I'm addicted to these things. I definitely need to kick caffeine it's not even caffeine. It's just the taste of, I need something like flavorful to drink. That's why I drink Propels or, you know, something that just has flavor besides water. And I'm like, the addictive part to it, I was like, it's when you notice it, it just depends on if you're willing to keep accepting it. Like people that know they're alcoholics, but keep doing it just because they have nothing to do. I'm like, in a sense, alcohol is a good lubricant for social situations. And it's a good time killer if you don't abuse the shit out of it, but you can abuse fucking anything. People abuse being on their phone. People abuse so much shit. I'm like, you necessarily can't just relax anymore. It's always got to be doing something while you relax, listening to music.
Did you Did you find, and I know I did with my pipe, and this was totally on me in a way. And I'm wondering if this is the same thing sort of maybe with your energy drinks, is I found that my pipe became a symbol of relaxation. And if I didn't,
relaxation.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, or whatever you're using your pipe for, energy or whatever. For me, like for relaxing, if I didn't have my pipe, I couldn't relax. So when I had my heart attack and I had to start quitting, I realized that I'd psychologically attached relaxation to smoking my pipe, and I couldn't.
That's like my cousin.
I was actually harming myself.
My cousin couldn't shit unless he smoked a cigarette. Like he would go like a week without going, and he's like, I got to smoke a cigarette. As soon as he walked outside, took one puff, he immediately ran upstairs and had to go to the bathroom. He was in there for like 45 minutes or so.
Which is weird because my dad used to smoke in the loo only because to hide his farts.
That's a conscious man. Good of him.
Or every so often he'd be walking by and he'd just grab some matches off the mantle and he'd go into the bathroom and someone would go, why is Dad taking matches into the mantle? And they're going, have you ever been in the bathroom after Dad's? Because he'd be like, and waving the sulfur around.
He's so breathing in his own shit fumes.
I'm surprised he didn't blow himself up. There's a lot of methane in there. Wow, we've covered a lot of topics today, man. I got addicted to, not necessarily just from the tobacco essence, but it was a mental thing. I needed this thing. And I'm just wondering if you hit a point where it's like, well, I can't feel the energy unless I'm having these drinks. You need to get this thing.
Yeah, we're gonna have to wrap it up in a second. I gotta get this gnat out of my studio.
This has been a fantastic chat as always. Yeah. My time, the 30s. Gangster heaven.
Okay.
The prohibition.
All right. Well, I'm going to put your links in the description because I can't. I got to get this thing.
Let's go, man.
What do you have anything to say before we hit the end on the.
I don't really. Just everybody keep real to yourselves. Listen to your gut. Have some fun today.
Have some fun. Make it your own.
Make it your own.